Technically speaking.
Welcome to our technically untechnical technology talk.
A Nywick Atlantic production.
And an award-winning podcast with your hosts, Chelsea Holloway and Alex Jackson.
Time is going by quick, Alex. We just transitioned into fall. I'm still waiting for the weather to cool down a bit, you know, get my sweater weather. I know it'll get there. But anyway, how was your weekend, Alex? What have you been up to?
I'm looking forward to the cooler weather as well. But this past weekend, I went to Columbia, South Carolina, and took pictures at a 5K. It was to raise money for the Spinal Cord Injury Association, and it was just great to be out and get away from Charleston for a little bit.
Awesome. How was the race? Who all ran it?
So we had a mix of folks walking and wheelchair rollers, and it was our inaugural event, so it was great to kick off this event and highlight those with disabilities and just showcase what's possible when living with a disability.
Very, very cool. Did you get some good pictures?
I did. It was nice weather, and we were worried about the storm and the aftermath of the storm, but luckily everything turned out really well.
Yep. The aftermath of that storm was why my family and I actually just went to the beach a little bit and tried to look for shark's teeth while we were walking on the beach. That was the highlight of my weekend, a little less fun than yours, but it was still cool. That's still cool. Let's get into the episode. We are talking about Nywick Atlantic's role in the cybersecurity of critical infrastructure, such as power grids, HVAC systems, and more, the stuff that we rely on every single day.
Coming up, we've got the Navy's subject matter expert on mission-critical control systems here to explain the importance of a capability called Mosaics. Then we speak to Yeoman First Class Nada Castro-Negron for our military moment, and she explains how her work with our commanding officer impacts the warfighter mission. So get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
Alex, when I think of cybersecurity, I tend to focus on the security of computers, networks, and information, all that stuff that I see and living in this cyber realm, right? And what I forget about are the physical structures within our buildings or that are supporting our buildings, like water and power plants, that need cybersecurity protection as well.
Exactly. Technology is involved in everything, including the programs that automate and run so many infrastructure systems. And the last thing we want to do is leave those vulnerable to nefarious hackers. And Nywick Atlantic has a pretty big role in this type of cybersecurity.
We sat down with Dr. Alexandra Scalco, a Nywick Atlantic engineer and the Navy subject matter expert on mission critical control systems. And she explained how Mosaics is keeping us safe from cyber attacks. Let's take a listen. Dr. Scalco, can you please tell us, what does Mosaics stand for?
Sure.
The acronym.
Mosaics stands for More Situational Awareness for Industrial Control Systems.
And what are we picturing when you say that, industrial control systems, when it relates to Nywick Atlantic?
Oh, two questions there. What we're picturing Mosaics is our systems that we find in water, wastewater, power utility, manufacturing. It's essentially control systems or process control systems. It's the things that control our physics-based world. What we think about it when we think about Nywick Atlantic is Nywick Atlantic is not only the initiator of Mosaics. It started with a Navy a nice proposal here at Nywick Atlantic, and Nywick Atlantic has been the technical management leading the effort during the past 6 or more years.
So what does this capability do?
What it does is it helps us cyber defend our critical infrastructure. It's the initial cyber defensive capability for critical infrastructure at the lowest levels of the system. So that would be your programmable logical controllers, your remote terminal units, really those things that start to have visibility to your valves, sensors, actuators, the things that control our physical world.
And why is that important to cyber defend these systems?
Well, so one of the things to start with is that critical infrastructure is really, it's those systems and assets that are so vital that any kind of disruption or incapacity of the systems and assets would potentially affect security or public health and safety or any type of combination of that. So it's physical safety, it's the ability to have the functions You know, when you want water, you want water. When you want power, you want power. So that becomes incredibly important to us to be able to ensure that there's no interruption. For the Department of Defense or for the Department of Navy, who, you know, the component that we represent, becomes really important because all the systems that we build, all of our information technology, all of the applications, the underlying support is critical infrastructure. A data center runs on power.
Yeah.
If you don't have power, you might have a backup generation, but there's only so long that that backup generation will function. So we want to ensure that we are resilient and we're able to meet all of our mission objectives when we want to use it.
How does Mosaics benefit the warfighter in completing their mission and the work that they do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, well, that's very much is the more situational awareness for industrial control systems or Mosaics that we're talking about really enables us to ensure that there is stability and reliability of all of our systems. Typically, people in the past have always thought of, you know, power as being isolated from cyber or water and wastewater. But we saw with Stuxnet, which was a very directed malware, where cyber was weaponized against a physics-based systems. In that case, it was a nuclear power reactor. So we know that cyber can be used to disrupt the infrastructure that we depend upon. So it supports the warfighter because it ensures that when the warfighter wants to project force, that all of our systems are there and ready to operate and are not interrupted by any threat actors.
And what are some of the goals that you all have for Mosaics for the near future?
Ooh. That's a great question. Really excited about that one. We separated Mosaics into two acquisition blocks to enable all of our partners to crawl, walk, run. The first block is the ability to identify and detect. We call that block one. We just completed the specifications. Those specifications will shortly be publicly releasable, unclassified, because we want our partners that are commercial industry to have access to those specifications and criteria as well. Our future, our next direction, is what we're calling block two. That really gets into bi-directional information sharing and the ability to get to that really shared situational awareness that's really critical, where we know when an event occurs with one of our component partners that we're able to very quickly share that information and defend ourselves.
It's really interesting to see the projection of where you all are wanting to take Mosaics and how it will continue to help the warfighter and those in the Department of Defense.
Oh, thanks for saying that. We're really excited not only for how it helps the Department of Defense for our mission, but also when we look at critical infrastructure, it's also our national economic security and public safety. So what we have accomplished with Mosaics and those standards is we're going to share it. When I say industry partners, not just our integrators and vendors that we rely on that work with us, but also our commercial partners that are non-DOD. We want our hospitals to have continuous power, have continuous water, and not be so susceptible and vulnerable to a malware attack or anything that can disrupt their operations. So what we've done in the DOD, or from here at NIWC Atlantic, what we initiated was that ability to really raise the bar and defend ourselves.
This is so exciting. So here at NIWC Atlantic, you have created this capability that is going to be useful to a wide range of businesses, people, operations, and we did that here at NIWC Atlantic. I'm so proud of us. This is great work that you're doing. Tell me about a recent accomplishment you guys have had.
Well, sure. Before I get to the recent accomplishment, I do have to say that what is amazing about it is that it's a unity of effort. So it's not just NIWC Atlantic. We were the technical management, but we worked with all of the Department of Energy National Labs. So our partners included Idaho National Labs, Pacific Northwest National Labs, Sandia National Labs, Johns Hopkins APL. We are very much working with all of the services. So the team that has delivered this reference framework that we call Mosaics, with systems engineering requirements that can be traceable for test and development, really was a national level unity of effort.
Wow.
Without any question. We were the technical management on it. Some of the accomplishments is in 2022, Mosaics and the team, that extended team, that unity of effort, was the winner of the prestigious 2022 Research and Development 100 Award. And Mosaics was given an award for bringing the future of industrial cybersecurity into focus. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. And we also did that, we worked through COVID.
Yes.
So here we were across the country, separated teams, and we managed to do integration in labs, test it, and still were successful in delivering this outcome.
And you have a big accomplishment you want to talk about, right?
Yeah. So the Block 1 specifications are completed. It's currently in DoD review process. So currently, it's Distribution D, which is for government and contractors. However, it is going to be publicly releasable, unclassified, so anyone can use it. And hot off the press, the Mosaic specifications are going to be included in the whole building design guide, or the WBDG. And this is where all of the services publish specifications and criteria. And you can think of it as building codes for the Department of Defense, where if you were remodeling your home, you might go to a local municipality to look up what the criteria and specifications are for your renovation. Well, the whole building design guide is where the Department of Defense and State Department for Overseas, where we go to find similar information. So Mosaics, is that specification is making it into that whole building design guide, which means everyone will use it. That's huge.
So your team, this collaborative national team, has created a capability that is so good that the Department of Defense said, hey, this is going in every building. And this is across the whole Department of Defense, not just the Navy, not just Navigate Atlantic. You guys have gone on the huge scale, and I think that's wonderful. So this is a great accomplishment to talk about, definitely to put out there, because I know there has been some worry, I think, over the past few years, more than there ever was, about the security of our infrastructures nowadays here within this country. So it's exciting to see Navigate Atlantic, they've already been working that issue. We've already mastered it and we're doing it so well that the DoD is like, hey, put this everywhere. So,
well, to elaborate on what you just said, when you say the DoD, Office of Undersecretary of Defense Acquisition and Sustainment, the Director for Cyber Warfare, has stated to all of the service components that when addressing cybersecurity for critical infrastructure, that they will use the Mosaics framework. But it gets better. The OUSD ANS is having a workshop at US Indo-PACOM, because we call it an 8-star letter. We have two sponsors, US Indo-PACOM and US NORTHCOM. At US Indo-PACOM, we're having a workshop on critical infrastructure, and it's going to be for all of the nation partner states from the Asia-Pacific region. So I think it's about 15 countries that are represented at that workshop, and they'll be hearing and learning about Mosaics and how they can apply Mosaics as partner countries so that we can have the shared situational awareness and defend our critical infrastructure so we can all be resilient together. So it's not only the Department of Defense, it will also be for our commercial partners as well as non-US partners.
Wow. So you didn't stop at national. You're taking this global.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I think this is great work that you all are doing, and it's neat to see that Navigate Atlantic has such a big role in all of this. So congratulations to you and your team.
You know, there's just a tremendous amount of technical leadership support here at this command that has enabled us to work across other commands, because clearly we're working with Air Force, Army, we're working with other Navy commands, and it has really taken that technical leadership from Niwic Atlantic to enable us to be successful. And it's making a huge impact that will be a legacy for many years.
Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us about this capability and explaining it and really iterating how widespread and important this is. So it's great work we're doing, and I'm so glad we can talk about it.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. You really enjoy your podcast. So this was really exciting to get to be part of one of the podcasts. Thank you for having me.
Alex, I was surprised when she told us Mosaics will be adopted by the entire Department of Defense. And there are plans to pitch it to go even further to some of our allied nations.
I was also impressed to hear where Mosaics started and how much it's grown.
Next, we have our military moment with YN1 Castro Negron, who shares her journey of why she joined the Navy.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Can you please tell us what you do for NIWAC Atlantic?
Hi, glad to be here, be part of this podcast. My job in the Navy is a yeoman, YN. I perform administrative duties, like I route military correspondence, instructions. I'm also command personnel administrator. We deal with the military pay issues, security, and a lot, everything related to reservists or active duty military. So we provide support to 143 military personnel, active duty and reservists as well. I'm now supporting the front office. So I've been like learning a lot from the front office management by helping the CO scheduling appointments, helping with their events, and coordinating with PAO any important events, I will say. At the same time, if we have like anything like military correspondent that it's like hot items or anything that it's like last minute as well, I will talk to the commanding officer in order to route it as soon as possible for the readiness of the fleet as well.
That's a lot of work you do. It sounds like you have a full plate. Can you tell me why that's so important?
It is important because I'm able to support this commanding officer with time management. So the CEO will be able to focus on the other priorities for this command and the fleet readiness.
And how long have you been in the Navy?
I'm going to be 5 years on December the 2nd. I will be 5 years in the Navy.
That's excellent. And what kind of advice would you give to someone who is wanting to join the military?
Well, I would say I joined the Navy when I was 35. So I was old and that doesn't mean that you cannot like accomplish things in your life. I did it. I started as a seaman, as an E3. And then I would say I went through a lot. It was the same process for new kids, like 18 years old, 19 years old. And I went through boot camp. And yes, was hard, was difficult, but I went through it. And then I am glad that my first command was a destroyer, DDG 62 USS Fitzgerald. And I got to learn about to be resilient, to be hard worker, to be a good sailor. And I was able to accomplish, I went after E3, I make E4, then E5, and then recently E6. And yes, it's been I've been successful the last 4 years, but it's just the mindset that whatever you put in your mind, that you have to be strong, that to be resilient, to be, that doesn't matter all the obstacles or anything that you find, you might find in your life, like you have to be strong and then you will get to accomplish your goal. And then I will say that other advice that I will say, I set up like short-term goals in order to accomplish the long-term goals.
So I sense an accent here. Can you tell us where you're from and why you joined the Navy?
So I'm from Puerto Rico. I was born in Puerto Rico and I joined the Navy in 2019. I joined the Navy because we went through a big Hurricane Maria, destroyed my entire island. And then it was very hard to restart, you know. We were without electricity, without internet, without, you know, the basics that you need, you know, for every day. And then I was working in Fort Buchanan. I was a cook. I used to work in a golf course. And then I met a lot of reservists, a lot of people from the U.S. Navy and on other branches. And they were like motivating me to join the Navy. And I told them that I was old, that I was 35, that, and they say they had waivers. And then I just need, you know, to pass the ASVAB and as well to be physically fit for duty. And I would say that I did it. And here I am in South Carolina, my second tour.
I'm sorry for what you went through, but I'm also really glad that you found the Navy, because we're better off to have you. So I'm glad that your age didn't deter you, and now you're here with us, and Niwik Atlantic is definitely the better for having you on the team. So thank you.
Oh, thanks for those words. I really appreciate that.
And thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast and all you do for Niwik Atlantic.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Alex, when she started telling us about how her home was destroyed by the hurricane, and that eventually led to her joining the Navy, but man, my heart went out to her. It made me think back, because I lost my home back in 2018 to Hurricane Michael, and that also eventually led me to joining Niwik Atlantic. When we lost our home, my husband was military, so we were able to sell it and move on. It was a lot easier than what many other people have to go through. But hey, it led me to Niwik Atlantic.
Wow, that's crazy how a storm led both of you to Niwik Atlantic. And we are thinking about all of those affected by the recent storms.
And now we are coming to a close of this episode, and please remember to learn about anything we've mentioned in this podcast, check out our social medias under NavWar or our Niwik Atlantic website. Links are in the description.
So there's another one in the books. Thanks for listening. If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.